Welcome to Total Health Transformation Podcast, hosted by Dr. Danny Scarhill. Dr. Danny is a doctor of chiropractic, an author, speaker, and trainer. And on the THT podcast, he interviews other health experts to glean further insights that will help you achieve total health transformation.
Welcome to the Total Health Transformation Podcast. My name's Dr. Danny Scarhill, the founder of DannyScarhill.com, the author of Total Health Transformation, the proven system to unlock limitless energy, motivation, and health, and the creator of the Total Health Transformation programs. Let's get straight into it on this episode. When we recorded this interview, we had so much fantastic content, way more than one episode, so we've split it into two parts. This one is part one. Part two is to follow. Enjoy. Welcome to this episode of the THT podcast. We've got another fantastic guest for you today, the author of the PH Miracle series of books, Dr. Robert Young. And these books have sold over 10 million copies, translated into 29 languages, and are gaining widespread following internationally in over 159 countries. Aside from his work as an author, Dr. Young has been honored to speak at Central University for Nationalities in Beijing, China, the Women's College in Beijing, All China Women's Federation also in Beijing, and many, many other venues all around the world, including in the UK and Harvard University in the States. Dr. Robert Young has devoted his career to the discovery of the missing pieces necessary to complete the larger picture of health, and is credited with being one of the pioneers of the alkaline diet movement. Without further ado, welcome to the call. Dr. Robert, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Couldn't be better.
Excellent, glad to hear it, mate. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard of yourself, but for those who perhaps haven't, tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you get to where you are today, sir?
Well, it was unintentional. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. Other than at age five, someone asked me that question, and I told them I wanted to be a doctor. But I ended up in my youth, my teenage and 20s, as a professional athlete, amateur and then professional. So I made my living playing tennis on a professional level and retired at the age of 29. Thinking, okay, I'm gonna live my life in reverse. Rather than retiring at 65, I'm gonna retire at 29. So I retired at 29, traveled the world, even though I was traveling, but I took my family this time. And we did that for a few years, and then all of a sudden, everybody said, "Ah, that's enough traveling, let's stay home." And so after that, you know, children came. And so I have five children, seven grandchildren, and now I'm really glad that I did everything in reverse, because the way the world is at this time, it's just more challenging to travel to Australia and to China and other places around the world, India, et cetera, Turkey. It's just more challenging. So it's a higher risk. And who wants to be quarantined? You know, that's not fun. Even if it's against your will, being quarantined. So you know, I spent most of my youth as an athlete, and around 31, 32, you know, I decided that I wanted to go into a more nutritional approach, a more health holistic approach with some of the, not only for myself, but for athletes that I knew and started working with. And so it started out with the PH Miracle program, really focused on not from being sick to getting healthy, but being healthy and just taking yourself up to a higher level of health and vitality and energy and really sustainable energy. Energy that would just, like the Ever Ready Bunny, you know, the battery commercial, you just keep going and going and going without flatlining, because that's a real issue with athletes. is they can go, 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 and then they flatline and they have nothing else to give. And then the recovery time can be quite significant. Sometimes it can be 2 or 3 days to recover to where you feel well enough to really put out like you did at that particular moment. So using a holistic alkalizing approach, I realized, and of course, one of my probably most famous athletes that's following the program, Tom Brady, who's now 42, 43 years of age, is still playing football and playing with 20-year-olds and playing at a higher level than he did when he was in his 20s. And the reason for that is he has learned how to, you know, deal with the lactic acid buildup, deal with the recovery time. And so I started working with runners and the cross-country team at West Point and the gymnastics team, and started doing research and started focusing my work on how food affects the most important organ of the human body, and that's the blood. And when your blood is healthy, when your blood is pristine, when it is strong, I mean, look at Lance Armstrong, who was blood doping. There's a natural way to blood dope that doesn't, you know, violate the rules. And, you know, what he was doing was pulling his blood out and then putting it back in before some of the more difficult, challenging climbs that he had to, that, you know, they do on the Tour de France have to go through. Increasing his hemoglobin up to 17 and a half. But you can actually do that naturally by understanding how to build healthy blood and how to increase hemoglobin. And so applying those same principles, I applied them to cancer. I applied them to diabetes. And I learned that blood cells break down and ferment just like bananas. And when you provide a proper alkaline environment, you know, red blood cells don't start deteriorating. They just stop fermenting. They stop producing excess bacteria or yeast. And so I learned a lot along the way. And but my background in sport, in nutrition, then later, you know, studying naturopathy and biochemistry, because my background is in biochemistry and microbiology, but my doctorate's in biochemistry, that's my PhD is in nutrition. And so I applied those to health, well-being, increasing, you know, energy and vitality and sustainable energy and vitality. So I've worked with some of the top athletes in the world and had, you know, wonderful experience, and they've been great teachers to me, because they've been willing to apply some of these principles of learning how to manage and maintain what I believe is the most important thing that you need to do for pH, or what I say as an acronym, perfect health, to maintain the alkaline design of the body fluids. Yeah, so that's kind of a general overview, but yeah, a lot of water, so to speak, has passed under the bridge. And I've been to Sydney, I've been to Melbourne, I have students there that I've trained that, you know what, I think the last time that I was in Sydney, I was in front of about 12,000 people presenting in conjunction with Tony Robbins. So a lot of people know me in association with Tony Robbins and Date with Destiny. But I apologize for my accent, you know. When I'm in Australia, I'll say something like, I really like your accent. And so wait a minute, we don't have an accent. You have the accent. So I get it, you know. But you know, I love Australia. I love New Zealand. I love that whole area. Love the people, and it's been a few years since I've been there. But every time I go back, I just enjoy it so much.
Yeah, I must admit, it's a while since I've been out to Australia and New Zealand, so I'm well overdue a trip myself. Lovely part of the world. So yeah, I remember on listening to I think it was Personal Power 2 or something like one of those programs of Tony Robbins, and he referenced you quite a lot years and years ago. So that's pretty cool to have you on the THT podcast now, mate.
Well, with Tony Robbins, he was not only someone who I trained and taught, but I developed his whole Health Day program that's presented by Joseph. You know, Joseph has been a longtime friend as well as Tony, and they practice these principles, but they teach them around the world. So millions and millions of people have learned about the importance of managing and maintaining the alkaline design of the fluids, much like in my metaphor in the pH Miracle book, which begs the question as a metaphor, when the fish is sick, what would you do? Would you treat the fish, or would you change the water if the fish is sick? And current medical science is their plan to keep the fish healthy is not to change the water, but to vaccinate the fish, to give treatments to the fish. And the fish is a metaphor for the human cell. And the water that the fish swims in is the largest body of water that surrounds all the fluids of our body cells. It's called the interstitial fluids of the organ, the largest organ of the human body, which is called the interstitium. In Germany, when I learned about this organ over three decades ago, I referred to it as the colloidal connective tissue of the shod. And I was taught by Professor Marie Blecker, who was the protege of Dr. Gunther Enderlin, who promulgated the etiology that the germs were born in us and from us, much like Antoine Béchamp, who had the same foundational terrain theory that germs are not infectious. I want to say that again. Germs are not infectious, but disease begins from within based upon our internal cleanliness. It's an environmental problem. It's not a disease problem. It's a contextual problem that relates to whether you're managing and maintaining the biochemistry of those fluids. So that, you know, for the last 3.5-4 decades, that's been my focus. That's what I taught Tony. That's what I teach some of the greatest athletes in the world who are seeking my advice. That's what I talk to, you know, when someone comes to me with terminal cancer. You know, what do I do? Very simply, no radiation, no chemotherapy, no surgery. You have to change the environment, because if you do that protocol, how does that impact, you know, the largest organ of the human body, the interstitial fluids of the interstitium? And if you're not aware of that organ, don't be surprised, your doctor isn't either. Do you understand the problem now? I mean, we're talking about fluids that surround the cells. And so it's simple. I want to say it again. The human cell that makes up all of our organs and organ systems is only as healthy as the environment which it lives. And that's no different than the food that you put in your refrigerator. Why do you do that? To protect it against breakdown. So why would you be focused on the pH? Why would you be focused on the biochemistry of the interstitial fluids? Because it represents 80% of the extracellular fluids, where the blood only represents 20%. It's the major fluid that surrounds all of our cells. So that's why you would do it. And the other reason you would do it is because when you measure the biochemistry of the interstitial fluids, you know, with the understanding that the blood is dumping its waste there, that the human cell and the organs are dumping their waste in it, the cell, that the genesis of sickness and disease begins there. So when we're talking about cancer, when we're talking about diabetes, when we're talking about bone loss, you know, osteopenia or osteoporosis, when we're talking about, you know, multiple sclerosis, neurological diseases, they all begin, the genesis of all sickness and disease is specifically related to the health of this organ, which very few people know. Very few people know how to even test this. We're one of few. Dr. Galina Migalko and myself are probably the only ones in the US or North America that are actually doing a non-invasive functionality test of all the organs and organ systems based upon testing the interstitial fluids of the interstitium. It's unheard of. It's unheard of. But the chemistry evaluates its quantitative information that you can then compare with the other 20%, which is your blood test. And it's fascinating because you might see normal blood sugars in the vascular system, and you're testing vascular when you're doing a finger prick and you're testing the glucose levels. That's not where it begins. It begins in the interstitial fluid. You may be lightheaded, dizzy. You may have all the symptoms of diabetes, have normal blood sugar, because the blood sugar elevation begins in the interstitial fluid. Do you understand? So you can have hyperglycemia and all the symptoms and have normal blood sugars and not realize that you're diabetic because you're not testing where this all begins. And this is the problem with testing blood sugars. You're getting an inaccurate reading that is an effect that's happening from a spillover from these interstitial fluids, and that's where it needs to be managed. So this is a great opportunity, not only for doctors, but researchers specifically who are researching now the biochemistry, you know, to determine, you know, the origin or the genesis of sickness and disease. Dr. Galina Migalko and I, we just published an article on this that relates specifically to COVID and other symptomologies that related to influenza, which is a symptom, not a disease, the flu, okay, influenza, coronavirus, a cold, okay, the cold. These are all symptoms. They're not diseases. They're the body's in a forced situation to expel buildup of waste that are being dumped into the interstitium organ, held within compartments to be later removed to the four or five channels of elimination. So that's why we published this article on oxygen deprivation leads to pathological blood coagulation, or hypoxia leads to hypercapnia, or oxygen pathological blood coagulation, and pathological coagulation leads to SARS, leads to severe acute respiratory disorders, and it begins in the interstitial fluids of the lung. So when you have that dry cough or that cough that's associated with a buildup of mucus, this is all beginning in the fluids of the interstitium, and that's where the treatment has to be focused.
Fascinating that. So when when this thing started, this whole COVID-19 pandemic and stuff, it's all always been leading towards a vaccine, hasn't it? That has always been the plan of the powers that be. If you like, what's the point in a vaccine?
Make money.
Yeah.
It's all about money. It's not about health. If it was about health, we wouldn't be focused on vaccines. Would be focused on an anti-serum or something that neutralizes the buildup of waste and opening up the channels of elimination. That's number one. You have to open up the channels of elimination. What are they? Urination, defecation, perspiration, respiration, and for women, menstruation. These channels need to be opened to remove metabolic, dietary, respiratory, environmental waste. If they're not open, they build up. They change the biochemistry of the interstitial fluids, okay, and eventually that can affect the intracellular fluids, because there's three basic fluids. There's fluids around the cells, there's fluids in the cells, and then there's fluids in the vascular system, the circulatory system. The lymphatic fluids are interstitial fluids. So the basic three are vascular fluids, interstitial fluids, and intracellular fluids. And the focus here is on the interstitial fluids. Why? Because the vascular system is dumping its waste. So if there's excess sugar in the blood because you had too much alcohol, or you had, you know, too much of a high fruit sugar, or you had, you know, too much sugar in your coffee, whatever, that excess sugar is deposited in the interstitial fluids. And then that's what rots and deteriorates the membranes, or the protective cover cells that provide protection, the epithelium. And here again, if these acids are not eliminated, they will create fermentation, membrane breakdown, and then the release of exosomes, which are repair proteins. So viruses, in their true definition, the word virus in Latin means poison. And so what we're dealing with today is not a actual biological that's causing specific symptoms. We're dealing with radiation and chemical poisoning. For example, you know, we have the evidence of the increase of hydrogen cyanide poisoning, which have the same symptoms of COVID. And that cyanide poisoning is caused by fracking. So what's happening is fracking is producing, you know, to produce a petroleum product. And that the waste product of that is hydrogen cyanide, which is being put in the atmosphere, which is measurable, that's associated with all the symptomologies of high fever, cough, dry cough, because what is it doing? It's causing a disturbance in the largest organ of the human body, causing cellular breakdown, that's activating the clotting factors. And the clotting factors is causing pathological blood coagulation, which is causing poor circulation or hypoxia, or the which then leads to hypercapnia, or the buildup of carbon dioxide, and people are actually suffocating. They're suffocating and dying from the fact that they can't get enough oxygen. Wearing a mask prevents the amount of oxygen into the body and the release of a poison called carbon dioxide. But the connection to air pollution with the increases of carbon monoxide is called acid rain, hydrogen cyanide poisoning, which happened to be the major cause when you look at cyanide poisoning and the symptoms and the epicenter, which here again in the United States, it's New York City, and you look at those fracking companies and the pollution that's being put in the air, and then you look at Wuhan, same problem, cyanide poisoning. Then you add 5G that actually punches holes in the membranes of cells and literally destroys, in a blood cell, destroys the hemoglobin. You don't have a fighting chance, because you're not dealing with a virus, you're dealing with chemical and radiation poisoning, okay, from the air, from the food, and of course then from 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, running anywhere from 900 megahertz up to 30 gigahertz of a V frequency, which is pulsating, that has been shown to damage and punch holes in the membranes of cells and destroy, in a red blood cell, the chlorophyll, in skin cells. The same thing, to actually break down these cells, that then leads to biological transformation, that then leads to the birth of bacteria, the birth of exosomes, repair proteins that are the result of the body trying to save itself. So the symptoms are forced expulsion of acidic biological and chemical waste the body's trying to get rid of so it can thrive, it can live. And then we're then considering injecting biologicals from animal or human sources of RNA or DNA. And on top of that, add aluminum oxide, which acts as an electromagnetic sink to attract more radiation to us. Then we look at the vaccine as not a solution, but as a pollution. And what is the intention here? I mean, then your mind starts wandering. I said, what's the purpose of this? Are we talking about population control? Are we talking about the surplus population? Are we talking about when we look at those who have been affected by this, which are most vulnerable, which is the elderly? I'm an elderly, you know. I'm living my 69th year. In March, I'll begin my 70th year. I mean, I'm part of that group that is being distinguished, okay? It is being eliminated either by intent or otherwise, either by omission or by commission, okay? Because over 46% of all the deaths in the United States are over 65 years old, and the average is 78. And the risk of this, though, when you look at mortality, here, that your risk of contracting, which I don't even like to use that word because disease is born in us, I like to think of it as an outfection, not an infection. We have contributing factors that disturb the internal environment that then gives rise to an outfection, which are what are called endotoxins, which are biologicals or cell fragments. But when cells start breaking down, they give birth to bacteria, they give birth to platelets, they give birth to exosomes. Some are to repair the damage, the collateral damage. But the body will force this out by inducing a fever. And some of this is seasonal because of temperature, and some of it's seasonal because of humidity. But most of it is seasonal because it's the time of the year where we don't exercise as much. We overindulge in acidic foods from Halloween to Thanksgiving to Christmas, to New Year's, and then all of a sudden the body has to go into a forced expulsion of all of the acidic waste that we built up from an inverted way of living and eating and thinking. And then we want to label that as a disease, which it's not a disease, it's a symptomology. So this is my voice, and I'm in that age bracket that, we need to protect our elderly and respect our elderly and value their experience and value. And that's what I was taught in my home.
It makes an awful lot of sense, pretty much everything that you've just said there. And it kind of goes back to what you said earlier, which I 100% agree with, being a chiropractor for the last 15 years or so. It is absolutely all to do with the environment. I mean, like in terms of chiropractic, we talk about you're as healthy as you eat, move, and think. So what you've said there makes an awful lot of sense. I mean, over the years, on your quest for health, because you've been in this game for a long, long time now, haven't you? What were the failures that you learned while you were learning, and what were the biggest lessons that you took away from those?
The biggest failures, and I really, I've had an incredibly blessed life. I have a beautiful family. I have people around me that love and care about me. I have millions of followers around the world. I've I've traveled to over 160 countries. I've spoken at every major university. I would say I am truly blessed and grateful, just overwhelmed when I think about it, for, to be able to be a mouthpiece. But probably my biggest, it's not a failure, but my biggest challenge is, I speak and I open my mouth and I do it freely. And because my voice is one of truth, it penetrates and pierces the ears of those who just don't want to hear much of what I have to say, because it threatens the current medical and biological establishment. It threatens Big Pharma. And the reason it threatens them, because it moves away from treating disease to something specific, as if it's a, not an adjective, but a noun. And like cancer, for example, and I've suggested that cancer is not something you get, it's something that you do with what you eat, what you drink, how you live. Here again, it forces personal responsibility back on the individual. So my failures are, sometimes I can be very black and white about all this. And on occasion, I can be so black and white that it's overwhelming for the patient. And so I've had to learn how to couch some of my statements and realize that people don't have my experience. They haven't been looking at the effects of the blood, which, here's a picture, for example, that I took of live red blood cells in 1989. Okay? So we're talking over 30 years ago of the corona effect, corona cells. And I find these types of cells where the membranes are broken and they're starting to scallop or produce knobs on them, using phase contrast, using dark field, using electron microscopes to actually visualize these, at different levels of magnification, and show people that you're only as healthy as your blood. And then sometimes I may add in those who did not have microscopes, like Moses or Hosea, the ancient prophet, who said, "My people perish because of ignorance." And I don't say that to put myself above anyone. I believe the prophets didn't say that, but they were directed from a power on high, and that power on high was teaching and educating them to lead their people. But today, we're not much different than those who were taken by when Moses took out the hundreds of thousands, from that were enslaved in Egypt and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Not one soul, I should say one or two souls, but other than that, not one soul came to the promised land that they were seeking that left Egypt. They all wandered and they all died in the wilderness. And I feel like today, without being critical, without being judgmental, but if we look at this, what I see with current medicine, current biology, current research, and the way we administer that we're no different than the lost children of Israel wandering in the wilderness of ignorance, of misinformation.
That was part one of this episode where I interviewed Dr. Robert Young. Part two is to follow on the next episode. You've been listening to the THT podcast with myself, Dr. Danny Scarhill. make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Podbean, or any one of the other outlets where we stream. Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/totalhealthtransformation. You can also find more information about myself on my website, dannyscarhill.com, where you'll find lots of fantastic information and some free products for you as well. Look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Take care. All the best.
You've been listening to Dr. Danny Scarhill on the Total Health Transformation Podcast, helping you to eat, move, and think on purpose. See you on our next episode.